All right. Anyway, I was intrigued last week by the study that Greg had done. Ben mentioned before while we were at our brown bag supper what a great thing it is to come to a church that before we begin a 2 or 3 year study, verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount, that it's going to take a dozen lessons just to do the introduction. And so I don't feel bad for doing this. So what I would like to do is piggyback on top of what Greg had done last week, and that is simply talking about this whole concept of being blessed or blessed. If you have, just by administrative announcement, if you've not picked up a one of the handouts there at the back of the room, we're going to be using that on occasion. Now, the point that Greg was bringing out and the reason that we need to do this study is that our English does not serve us very well, particularly where the English translates two related but yet different Greek words with the same English word. In order to do that, of course, the New International Version back in the 70s said, you know, we're going to fix that. But it would be just like trying to fix something that is indoctrinated into our vocabulary. Just as another example from this one, the word for love. What is the word for love in the Bible?
Agape.
Well, it depends. Agape is one word for love, but it's not the only word for love. You know, it is phileo. Storge is another word for love. And there's even a fourth one, eros. So there's actually four different Greek words that we just simply say, as the Beatles, you know, I can quote them from the 1960s, all we need is love. Well, the love that they're talking about is not the love, because I would totally agree with that. All we do need is love. That's what the commandments are, aren't they? You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. And so that's all we need. But it would be only one of those four words. Well, as we start into the Sermon on the Mount, right away, we are struck with the concept of being blessed as we start into the Beatitude part. And so what I had done is Greg last week introduced that there are really two concepts, and so I would like to amplify those a little bit. The handout is nothing more than going into the Bible and taking every single word. In this case, it's not love, it is the word to be blessed, or its cognate forms, blessing, or blessed, or to bless someone. All right? Now, you'll recall that there are how many different words that are translated in our English Bibles as blessed? Well, in the Greek, there are two. All right. Now, if you look up at the top of your handout, I have written those down, and I have taken the Greek letters and written them in English. The first one is eulogeo. All right. That is the more common New Testament word for bless. Okay. However, not very far behind that, because it's like about 45-55% for these, is the word makarios. Okay? Eulogeo, eu is the Greek word and even the Latin word, which means good. All right? In fact, what word in English do we transliterate as a eulogeo? A eulogy. What is a eulogy? It is where everyone gets up and does what? Says good things about usually someone who is passed away. All right, and that's why we call it a eulogy, because that is literally what the word means, eulogeo. Words in the beginning is the logos, you to be good. And so that's what it says, to speak good things. Makarios, we don't have an English word for, and that's really the thing that we really want to get to the heart of, is to find out just exactly how these things are different, how are they different. Between the eulogeo blessing and the makarios, or what Greg referred to as the makarisms.
Well, I thought that eulogeo word was a Hebrew word.
Well, all right. Now, Ben's comment, for those of you who couldn't hear, was that eulogeo has a corresponding word in the Old Testament, and makarios has a corresponding word that have this exact same difference in meanings.
Yeah. Keep talking. The piano's got you.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. The thing that the Old Testament does, for example, you have your Bibles. Turn to Psalm 1. Psalm number 1. Right off the bat, okay, right off the bat, we see this word in the very opening psalm, in which we read, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." Okay? Now, that word there is the word ashir, okay? The word ashir that corresponds to the one that we're looking at and the one that we're peculiarly interested. Now, take your hand out, because what I've done there, this is back into the Old Testament, it just so happens that Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Okay, there's a reason for that, but that's not the port. It is right there on the front page. Over in the very right-hand margin, you see M, 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 M. All right? Now, what does that coded mean? All right, when the word blessed is used there, it is the makarion. Now, what do you notice and what effect does it have to see M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M right there in the first bunch of verses? Okay? That means that it is that word that we're looking at, the Greek word, that is in the Sermon on the Mount. And then what happens at Matthew chapter 14? All right. There is the E word. And then Matthew chapter 16, the M word, the makarios verb or the makarism, and then verse chapter 21, E, chapter 23, E, chapter 24, M. Now, could I say, without fear of going too far, that Matthew knew the difference between these two words? Yeah, it's not just simply, well, I'm just stuck on this word. I'm going to use this for everything. How can we tell that just from the study that we've done just very briefly? Because sometimes he goes back and forth and back and forth. Now, what I'd like to do is come up and see if I can illustrate a picture. Because in the Old Testament, if you'll recall, in the book of Genesis, what was the one thing that Jacob wanted from Isaac? His blessing, okay? Now, what that says is that I have Jacob who came to his father. I'll just go ahead and draw him. like that and wanted to be given a blessing. This is what that word means. Okay? That word says it is going to be good words are going to be pronounced. Okay? Now, let's just stay in Matthew. Look at the first time Matthew uses this very word. Let's see if we can get this says, oh, I see, that's exactly the shift that Matthew makes. Verse 19, then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. And then he broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. All right? What had happened? It was nothing more than a external chancing. Now, I'm not going to go in this particular say, did Jesus actually transform the bread and the fish there so that those bread and fish walked up and says, oh, I am so blessed. No. He did what? He pronounced a blessing. All right. While we're talking about bread, let's go over. This is about on page 4 or 5, to 1 Corinthians, all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, all right, it's on page 5, it's the third one down. Now, which one of those are we looking at? Which being blessed? 1 Corinthians 10:16 is the reference. It is, well, first of all, what it's doing is talking about the Lord's Supper, but is that the E blessing or the M blessing? It is the E, the eulogeo, the cup of blessing that we bless. What do we do with that cup? Do we, when we bless the cup, before we take, what do? Do we transform that cup in any way? No, that's what the Protestant Reformation was all about. He said, no, the Lord's Supper is not a transformation. It is asking God's blessing. It is simply coming from outside to inside. This guy is giving the blessing. He is receiving a blessing. He is receiving good words. All right? Now, look just above that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 40. All right, because there you see that the ESV translates blessing a little bit differently. How does it translate that in 1 Corinthians 7:40? Happier. Now, what is that? What is happy? Well, that is the second word, and this is the makarion verb word. All right. Pardon me for. Happiness is something that is where? It is inside of me. I am blessed. Okay, now we're going to talk about that, where that came from here in just a minute. Do you see the difference? The E blessing, all right, is something that comes out. Now, when God gives a blessing, what happens? All right, let's look at Ephesians, just down at the same page 5 there, Ephesians chapter 1. In fact, here is 3 uses of this word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, which word is used here? The external blessing. What are we doing to Jesus Christ in the very opening sentence? We are saying good words about God. Blessed be God and the Lord, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, I'm not going to make an argument there that the blessing does not have a blessedness that comes along with that, okay? But what's the point that the Apostle Paul is making? Paul is making authorship claims, isn't he? That God the Father has blessed us, and Jesus Christ has given us the blessing. All right. One more word, all right, that a couple of times the ESV translates as blessing. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:11, same page. Over there, I don't have an E or an M. What's the note in the margin there? That's actually a different word. It's the word for grace. All right. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayers of many. You'll notice that I've got the actual word there. Translate that probably, in fact, there are some translations that say the favor granted to us, the grace granted to us through blessing. All right. So these are some of the things that I want to look at, and there's going to be more, but I want just a minute to talk about this thing on the inside. All right? It is on one hand on the inside in our souls that I am blessed, but at the same time, it's not a feeling. Now, that's going to be very important when Greg opens up the Sermon on the Mount. Why is that? Well, let's look back at page one. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Just happens to be the first 13 uses of the word in the New Testament. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Is that just simply pronouncing a blessing, or is it talking about something internal to my soul? It is something in me that is blessed. All right? Now, that's going to become very, very important. All right? And we're going to look at, in fact, every one of those, which is the word that's used when it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are you who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. All of those have to do with what? Someone who is blessed. And that's going to be one of the very, very important things that we look at. All right, let me take just a little bit before we go. We're going to come back to this. What I'd like to do is talk about the Greek language before the New Testament was written, okay? Because these words didn't just pop up. Matthew didn't just invent these words, all right? They were already in use and in place. Now, what I want to do is say just simply in the ancient Greek language, this being blessed really had three different references, all right? You look in the old Greek literature and you'll find that people who were blessed were their mythological gods. They were blessed, okay? Zeus, Apollo, Athena, all of those, they were blessed, okay? I'll get to tie it in a minute. Second one is that people who were very, very wealthy were blessed. Okay? Now, the third one is a very interesting usage. And this word that's a very interesting usage is people who were dead were blessed. Now, again, this is not a Christian culture in which we know when someone who dies in the Lord goes to be with him and there's the ultimate blessing. What is the thread that ties all three of those things together? The mythological Zeus, Apollo, Athena gods, people who are very, very rich, and the dead. Well, I think when we're looking at if they're the dead, then happy really doesn't apply, right? I mean, I can think that they are dead. Here is the thing that I think is really going to help us to understand is that the one thing that all of those have in common is that they could care less about the mundane cares and concerns of the world. What about the dead guy? He does not care whether the grass needs mowed or the grass doesn't need mowed. He doesn't care whether there's food in the refrigerator or no food in the refrigerator. All right? Does he even care that he has cancer? No. The earthly cares and concerns of this guy don't apply. Well, what about the mythological gods? They're not concerned about all of these cares and concerns of the world. All right? They are where... What about the uber rich guy? I know that for many, 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 many years, Ann and I were very, very concerned about how we were going to feed our family and pay our bills. Does Donald Trump worry about how he's going to pay his family and his bills? Bill Gates? No. So I think that that's one of those things, because what I don't want to do is come in and say all of these guys that you're talking about, you know, are the uber rich guys. Because when Jesus starts applying this to the Sermon on the Mount, what's he applying? Well, if you're uber rich and you don't have any cares and concerns of the world, then you are blessed. Is that what it says? No, not at all. Blessed are the poor. So that would seem to contradict it if it is that element. So the real question is, what element is Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Paul and all of these other things talking about that the rich guy, the dead guy, and the mythological gods, what is the one thing that they have in common? They are not fazed by the things of this world. They are absolutely, I don't want to use the term oblivious to, but they are certainly not worried about how they're going to pay their bills. Are they? Are they worried about, what are they worried about? I'm not saying that, you know, wealthy people don't have worries and so on, but with regard to all of the things. Now, how is that going to affect the way that Jesus is now going to use this? Well, is it this kind of a blessedness that someone is going to come in? No, if you're sitting there concerned, what's the only way that you are going to be? Because I mean, the word is happy. But boy, I tell you, I went to dozens of websites and sermons to say, you need to be happy, 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 happy. That's not what this word is saying. This word is not saying, now it is happy, but it is, in fact, if you look at the very top of the first page, what's the definition that I put on Makarios? Beyond the cares of this world. Now, what Jesus is saying there as he looks at the Sermon on the Mount, all right, when he introduces that to say, if you are gentle and humble, this is not something that you can just simply say, okay, I think I'm going to go down and get me some humble today. Where does that come from? That comes from the inside. It comes from being blessed. You are able to put those things away. Wait a minute. What about when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely in my name? You are blessed if you are able to deal with that. Why? Because those are just mundane things. Those are just mundane things that we look for. Now, I don't want to stop here and make application. What does that mean for us? You know, are we blessed because I can go to the grocery store and the clerk says, "Have a blessed day." I says, "Oh, yes, I'm blessed." All right. And then I go out and I'm just, no. Where does the blessing that this word is talking about come from? It is not coming. Now, there are a lot of those. In fact, if you have been here not listening to me because you're simply counting. Okay, 1, E, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Let me just do it for you. All right. E's and M's. M's, 54. E's, 60. So that's talking about just as many things. Now, one of the things that I was blown away by, this is a passage from the Apostle Paul. Ben, I love these places that I've read 1,000 times and never read them. It never sunk in. All right. What I'd like to do, look over just to get a feel for the E blessing. Look over at Galatians. This is on page 5 of your notes. The E blessings. All right. You'll notice 2 Corinthians. What kind of blessings do we have? E. Galatians. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith in the gospel beforehand by Abraham, saying, "In the worlds all the nations shall be blessed." In other words, they're going to have the blessing given to them. 3:9, so then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We're able to put aside all of the cares and concerns because we're in Abraham. That's not what this is talking about. What is the blessing of Abraham coming? It's being included in the children of Abraham. And those are, I mean, that's what it's saying there. All right. Look down at Galatians 4:15. Okay. All of a sudden, Paul, who's been using E for blessings, uses a Makarios blessing. I'd like to read that. In fact, we may actually turn to that. 4 and verse 15 says, "What then has become of the blessing that you did what? You felt." Okay, I've got goosebumps when I listen to you. I'll admit that. Read what the Apostle Paul says that blessing should have done for the Galatians. "For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me." Why? Because those Galatians were blessed. What would have been the result? It says, "Paul, if I'd have known that you were thorn in the flesh is your vision or whatever, you know, if I had known you'd been having vision problems, I would have torn my own." Because why? Of the blessing that was in me. Now, he'd just gotten through saying they were blessed in Abraham. Is that where the blessing came from? No. That blessing is coming from the inside of them. They are reacting to Paul's situation because they are blessed. And that's one of the things that we look at as you're looking at these. Now, in Ephesians, he goes back. In Ephesians. In fact, he only uses the E word in Ephesians. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus." We already pointed that one out. Okay? Now, these are the things. Look at the book of Hebrews. Okay? They're all on your notes on page 6 of your notes. Hebrews has nothing but what? What kind of blessings? Hebrews 6:7, E, receives a blessing from God. 6:14, surely I will bless you and multiply you. Melchizedek, Hebrews 7:1, Abraham returned from the slaughter of kings and he blessed Abraham. All right, and Abraham, and he blessed him who had the promises. Verse 11, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By the way, do you remember how he blessed Esau? How did Isaac bless Esau? How did Isaac bless Esau? Because remember, Esau had his birthright ripped off. He had his blessing ripped off from him. He said, don't you have a blessing for me? And Abraham, or Isaac said what? Yes, I do. What is your blessing? You're going to be your brother's servant. He is going to rule over you. That's your blessing. Now again, that's this blessing that he's talking about. All right? Because Esau had a blessing. How do we know that? Hebrews 11 tells us. But that blessing was not something that was glorious and grand that we're able to do. On the other hand, look at the first two uses of blessed in James. Blessed is the man who does what? Remains steadfast under trial. Is Esau going to be able to remain, with that blessing, is he going to be able to remain steadfast under trial? No, this is the blessing. It's coming from my soul, from the innermost beings, is that I'm going to be able to understand. Because that trials, more than likely, are going to include what? Why does James have to tell us to consider it all joy when we encounter various trials and tribulations? Because that's not, as the song says, doing what comes naturally. If you are blessed, then what will you be able to do? James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast, for when he has stood the test, he receives the crown of life. Again, is he able to remain steadfast because he has the hope of the crown of blessing or the crown of glory in the age to come? No. He remains steadfast because he is blessed. And that's one of the wonderful things about, I think, what that says. Because what we're getting ready to understand from the perspective of what Jesus is going to be talking about is that he is not going to be talking about and giving commandments to people who could care less about the fact that he is Jesus, the Son of God. Why is that? Because he's saying that blessing, blessed are you who mourn. Why? Why will you be comforted, brothers and sisters? Because you have that thing in you. And again, one of the things I want to emphasize is that this blessing is not a feeling. Now, do feelings accompany it? Yeah, but that's not the blessing. All right? I guarantee you those guys in James chapter 1 and verse 12 who were undergoing the trial, what were they feeling? Pain. But yet they were blessed to be able to go through the trials. So these are the things that we're looking at. We're out of time here this evening. But that's one of the things that, and you'll forgive me for piggybacking on to what Greg had talked about, but it just jumped out at me, particularly that passage in Galatians. It says, because you are blessed, you would have died for me. Wouldn't even have thought about it. And that's the whole concept that we're looking at. Let's pray. Father, help us not to seek to be blessed, but help us to live our lives in such a way that we are able to say that we are blessed in Jesus Christ. Father, we know that that blessing could not come to us save Jesus through Jesus Christ, that His grace comes into our lives and gives us the very thing that we need. Father, we ask that Your blessing would be upon us in such a way that we would be blessed. Father, in a particular way, I pray that You would be with Greg and Jim as we now come into Your throne and bring our prayer requests to You. In Your name we pray. Amen.